Welcome to the show where the magic unfolds. Technology and art, a story yet untold. From Lagos to Nairobi, Accra to Johannesburg, we're vibing to the beat. Let the rhythm take control. Oh, tech and art come together. We breaking new ground.
Welcome to the Tech Arts and Soul podcast. My name is Michael Komlo Pari, and today we are talking about streaming contracts. I'm not doing this alone. I have amazing guests in the house, but of course, I have my usual suspect, Ni, and with him comes Kedi and Annette. Ni,
yep.
What's up?
Charlie, a day for you. How are you?
I'm good. Super. Small. Right. Slow but sure. How has stuff been for you?
I can't complain. Yeah. Being a Ghanaian is it's tough. Yeah. But you have to be tougher.
Well, we can't make that an anthem, so I agree.
right. So, but I'm really, really fired up for the conversation we're about to have. How about you?
I'm fired up as well. I think that one thing that sticks out for me is that I want to learn so much about what we are going to talk about today. And we have the people in the house to talk about it. So I'm hoping to just learn a new perspective on how these things work. With us, we have Kedi and Ifya. Ifya, tell us a little bit about who you are and then what you do.
I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer who likes music, so I do entertainment law and other areas of law, but basically entertainment law, since it's now growing in Ghana. So I don't like calling myself an entertainment lawyer like that, because it doesn't feel that much. I'm a lawyer.
Okay.
Basically, that's it.
Okay, you're welcome. Kedi.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
All right, so I'm Kedi. I'm a rapper, Ghanaian rapper. I'm from Tema.
Okay.
Yeah, I rap in Ghana and English, but my most dominant language is Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been around for some time. I also do film.
You also do film?
Yeah, I make films.
Hey, TM boy, where they rap.
Yeah, they rap.
And we do film. Yeah. No be small on you.
Charlie, how you go do one? Little more dashi.
Little more downer.
Hey, dashi. So we have you go there.
Oh, where you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, you're welcome.
And, Michael, guess what? Kedi was in the same class with Calibus. And other celebrities here.
Yeah, our fair Patrick.
Yes.
Oh, did you guys make a decision to like move crazy in the entertainment space, or it was just like it happened that way?
No, I think it just happened.
It just happened. Yeah. Okay. Well,
post plan.
I'm looking forward to hearing more of that experience today.
Sure.
What's your thoughts on contracts, streaming contracts generally?
I don't think they're a bad thing. Generally, contracts are not bad things. Contracts just formalize your agreement with someone. So if you have music, someone has a platform, you want to give your music to them to distribute for you, for people to get access to your music, it's not a bad thing. But it becomes a bad thing when you don't negotiate properly. That's when contracts become a bad thing. But generally, streaming contracts are actually good contracts, because streaming revenue is like booming now. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You talk about negotiating wrongly. Do you have a personal experience where somebody came to you and then they had negotiated wrongly and you had to go either bail them out or realign the contract?
Oh, usually that's what we do. And I mean, sometimes or most of the time they come with already signed contracts. So there is nothing you can do about it. You just have to advise them to not, like for future purposes, you have to advise them. But sometimes too, they come and they haven't started negotiations at all. So you go in for them and you negotiate for them. Sometimes too, when they come and you negotiate for them, the people just go behind you and talk to them and they sign. So I mean,
so they're going behind you means that, okay, they come for the advice, mm-hmm. and then they proceed and do what they want.
Basically, yeah.
Does any trouble come out of that they come back to you to come and solve?
That'll be in the future.
Okay.
Right. But you also mentioned that oftentimes people come to you, you know, when they have already committed to a contract. And I'm here suspecting that could it be, you know, we are in Ghana, people have this perception. I'm just an upcoming artist. I want my music to blow. And I found someone who wants to help me. And I should go and see a lawyer and then some book long things for the person to go through and all of that. I mean, it's my party. I trust him. You know, let's just get this thing out and then make my music. Why should I go through the long, torturous process of a contract with a lawyer that will charge me fees too on top?
I mean, if that's how you think, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But
when a problem comes,
when a problem comes, you understand why you have to come to a lawyer. Because basically yeah. You, with negotiations, I mean, with these contracts, they are not like standard. They are not standard terms or maybe the percentages and all that. They are not standard for everyone. It depends on you, your clout, your reach, your market and everything. Yes. So you need to negotiate based on all this. But with some, they negotiate from the point of desperation.
Okay.
Get it. And yes, I keep telling people who come to me, if these terms are not favorable, hold on, another will come. You just need patience and you need to trust the person negotiating for you. Yeah.
Okay, Keddy.
Okay, so
yeah.
As a young kid from Temanuta who doesn't know about the music laws when I was coming up, like back then, I worked with a label who did my first album. I didn't know about lawyers and like getting them involved because I was desperate to come up. You understand me? So there are times that you get the wrong like contract because it was like 70-30. And me speaking with people like Hammer, people I look up to and stuff like that, the label wants to take you there to go and record. You are eager to get there, so you are in a hurry to sign those contracts, which might in the future hurt your career.
So is it that you never looked through the paperwork or there was nobody to talk to?
Back then, but I think the getting lawyers involved thing is now getting like popular in Ghana now, because back then nobody cared about getting a lawyer. You just, oh, so he won't sign me, oh boss, then I would do, I'm okay, so then pack. It's just you and the manager or the executive producer, and then you start recording. You get me? So that's how.
Okay. Right. And if I may come in, you mentioned 70-30. Who is the 70 going to and who is the 30 going to?
The 70 is going to
70 to the label. Who is 30 to the
30 to the 70 to the label, 30 to you. To the artist. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. And we'll never waste, and we'll talk about 30.
And that's very charitable.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Charitable.
Yes.
If you're, I would like to hear an experience. I want to, if you say 70-30 is still.
Yeah, because usually what, I don't like demonizing labels because labels are there for a reason.
Okay.
So you need labels. So if someone invests in his company, he pays people to market music, he pays people to do all the work for you, and they also give you money. Even if they don't give you the money directly, they invest the money into you. You don't expect them to not get their money back.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of every label. The aim is to make money. It's not an NGO.
Freelance.
Yeah, it's not an NGO. So if they find an artist, they give the artist the contract, then they'll tell them, go and let someone look at it for you or go and let someone read it for you. Because they have lawyers. So their lawyers will definitely look through for them. And personally, putting morality and everything aside, you need to get the best you can from every deal. So they are not there to look out for your interest. They are there to look out for their interest. They've seen a talent they can exploit to make money. So why should they give you all the money? So there are some labels that, in fact, standard label contracts, when they sign you and they give you an advance, that's the money. An advance is a loan. It's not money for you to spend. It's a loan, which you will pay back. So they have to recoup. They have to get all the money they spent on you before even the 70-30 comes into play.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I never knew.
So it's net. The money is the net and the advance is part of the expenses. So if at the end of the month they bring the money and you still owe, they bring the they get all the revenue from your streaming performances and everything, and it's maybe 10K CDs, and they already spent 50K CDs on you. How much you think you make that month? Nothing.
You still owe.
Well, you still owe. That's the thing. So it's just, I mean, I understand everyone who signed before now, because there wasn't much information then. But now people are learning, people are reading. Some artists are even reading things themselves. So you need, if you will not even get a lawyer, you need to read, because there are some contracts that is a work for hire. If it's work for hire, that one, you can never even get the work back. You are, everything you're recording belongs to the label. Everything belongs
please,
to them.
Please break that down. please break that down. It looks like there are a lot of aspects to this. I want you to break it down so that anyone that is starting out at least can have some detail to work with.
Okay. So basically, as I already said, when someone sets up their company, they are paying you to record songs for them. So they own the song. You don't own the song. So all these big songs, being Burna Boy, blah, blah, blah. Burna Boy doesn't own his songs. The songs don't belong to him. And after a while, we'll see that if he leaves those labels he's on now, we will see that all those old songs don't belong to him. That's why he's always touring, because he needs money from the touring. Oh. Sometimes they're also giving you advances. So whatever you're making from streaming and everything, it just goes straight to them. What you get is a publishing royalty. That's from the songwriting, not as an artist. Because the artist, the sound recording belongs to the label. It's the property of the label. You never get it back. And in American contracts, they work for hire works. They work for hire basically means someone has paid you to do something for them. So it's like you've paid a contractor to come and maybe build a house for you. After they leave, the house is yours, you've paid them. Do you understand? So they don't own anything in the music. So if you sign contracts with these American labels and all that, most of the time, like 99% of the time, it's work for hire. You are doing everything for them. They've paid you to record songs for them. So the songs belong to them. They don't belong to you.
Okay. And Keddy, for you, how do you think that the rise of Afrobeats is influencing streaming services or streaming revenue?
I think Afrobeat has become a force to reckon with from like 2016-17 coming up. So I see a lot of streaming platforms gravitating towards the genre. So mostly, for instance, you see Spotify now in West Africa trying to popularize their platforms and stuff. So I think that Afrobeat is really taking over the streaming platforms, and we Africans are getting heard out there. Unlike first, where there were no streaming platforms, it's just physical. You get your CD to someone to play. It will be hard for someone in the US to get to hear your music.
Okay.
So I think Afrobeat.
What's your most used platform for your music, or which one do you prefer?
For me, I'm an artist, so I spread my songs across all digital.
Everyone.
Everywhere, like Tidal, everywhere.
You use a distro.
I use a Ditto.
Okay. Doesn't that cost money?
It costs money, but it's a yearly subscription.
Okay.
Michael, I'm glad you asked the Afrobeat question, and I'm trying to relate that to what Ifya shared early on. So I used to think that maybe the psychology behind the craze for new genres of music is because that's what is popular out there, and that's what will maybe increase the reach of the artist. But based on the explanation that Ifeanyi just gave, I'm thinking it's more driven by the commercialization.
Yeah. It's a business.
Yes.
Part of it.
Yes.
And so if I'm an artist and I am naturally inclined to do, let's say, high life music or hip life, but Afrobeats is what is trending, is the craze in town, and I'm signed to a record label that I'm owing, it means there's serious pressure on me.
Yes. Yes.
To do Afrobeats.
Yeah.
By whatever means, you have to get my music out there. That is really, really interesting. And one thing that I also noticed is that when you play some of the old tracks, music, regardless of the genre, the song can go for 5-6 minutes. But right now, the kind of music that we are seeing, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, some 2 minutes. And it's like, this artist wants us to play the song several times because of the commercialization argument that Ifeanyi just made. I don't know if
is it in any way directly related to that?
In my head.
Yes, it actually is. It actually is. That's why signing on to big labels, I mean, they will do great things for your career, but also the freedom of creativity, they limit it because you can't necessarily do what you want to do. You have to do what will sell for them. It's about them and the money they want.
Do you have any examples that you can share? You don't need to mention names, but you can just...
No, because
I feel maybe music is more enjoyable when it is short. Mm-hmm. That is how I feel. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in any way connected to how commercial an artist should be.
I mean, it's in their contract, is there. The number of seconds a song should be is there. Maybe the minimum number of seconds a song should be is also in their contract. So that one, it's up to them. But then it's what you are saying about the music being short and all that. It's also like a creative decision that the labels take. Because if the more people stream, the more you make money on it. So if you can make an 8-minute song and it will sell, why not?
Yeah, because I have a few things written down that I want to.
And if only it will have that replay.
Yeah, replay value, yeah.
You get me?
Okay, so there's a replay value to when the song is short.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Sometimes you play it 2 minutes into it, you enjoy it so much, then it ends. And you start again. So yeah.
Is that why our brothers on the other side keep doing that?
Yeah.
Our brothers on the other side.
And everything, someone said that, like, there's no coincidence in this industry. Like, nothing just happens. Everything is very well orchestrated. Understand? And you can see that these things started when they started coming down here.
Right.
If you see how things are going, you see you'll be there, a song will blow. And you think, oh, this guy is very lucky. Or you don't know the money they've pumped into that thing, making the song blow.
Yeah. And Keddy, have you had any challenges getting your music on platforms?
I'll say when I didn't know about those platforms, that was the only challenge.
Okay.
But when I got enlightened, I knew that you can get DistroKid to distribute your, maybe the only challenge now would be maybe getting the money to always be subscribed.
Subscribing, okay.
Renew your subscription.
But it's been sailing so far.
Yeah.
You think you are getting back what you are plowing in?
Not really. As an artist with a smaller brand.
Okay.
An independent artist.
Okay.
It's hard for you to recoup what you put in within a short time. Yeah. So you just have to be patient and give it time and then keep marketing yourself and your music.
Okay. So this means that you're playing the longer game so that you hope that you would churn in some at the end of the day.
Yeah.
How is the control like? Does he own it? Or once he uploads it, the streaming platform takes everything?
No. Let me start from the top.
Okay.
So when it comes to music, we have two different rights in a sound in a song.
Okay.
So if he records a song, there is the sound recording, which is the music we are playing, and the underlying underlying composition, that's the melodies, the lyrics, and all that. He supposed if he writes the song and he also records the song, means he's supposed to be making money off the sound recording and the underlying composition, that's the lyrics. And the person who made the beat is also supposed to be making something from the beat, not just the money you paid the person, but he's also supposed to be getting royalties from the beat. So usually people who are signed to labels, people who are signed to labels do not own the rights in the sound recording. So the sound recording belongs to the label.
Okay.
But if you are an artist and you are also a songwriter, you own the right in the underlying composition. You understand?
Okay, yes.
So with him like this, if he is signed, he is an independent artist. He owns the rights in the sound recording and also owns the rights in the underlying composition. So he's supposed to be making money off the sound recording and also money off the underlying composition.
Okay.
That's where publishing comes in. So you also need a publisher. Mm-hmm. And if you want to distribute your music on DSP, now you don't have to individually upload every DSP. There are distribution companies like DistroKid, as he said. They have agreements with all the DSPs, Apple Music, Spotify, and all that. So you pay a fee to them, the yearly or monthly, it depends on the package you prefer. Yeah. Then you have an agreement with the distribution. So the maybe he is signed to DistroKid. He has an agreement with DistroKid.
Okay.
That whatever royalties come, you bring it to the label. So the DSPs will send the money to
the distributor.
And then the distributor will send it to you. So the agreement you have with the distributor, that's a license you've given to them to distribute your music.
All right.
So they do not own anything in their music.
Okay.
It's just a license you've given to them to distribute the songs for you. That's why sometimes when you check, when you look at Apple Music, you see down there, see all rights to
the yes. VF. Yes.
So it's just a license you give them to distribute your music for you.
Okay. Which platforms are you making money on?
With me, the most engagement I get on my songs is on Apple Music.
It's on Apple Music.
Yeah.
And then okay, so Apple Music for the win.
Yeah. So from there, then Spotify.
I said Apple Music for the win because there's somebody who also counters that and says they don't like that platform. But do you think that is the best platform for you?
No, for me personally.
For you personally? Okay.
Where I get my traction.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Apple Music.
Okay.
You get your traction or the most money.
When people go there and they stream it there, then the money comes from there. So
traction. It's the plus that gives you the money. You could be getting a lot of maybe listeners on Spotify too, but because it's a free streaming site, maybe the money is not coming as much.
Yeah. That one to plays a part.
Yeah, because Sanyemi, I'm just wondering, like, how many of the people from your hood, the Tema Newtown hood, will jump to Apple Music?
No, Tema boys are rich. When I Tema boys are
Tema Newtown. That's what I'm talking about. I'm familiar with that space.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the best they could do for us is just on Audio Mac.
Okay.
Just a few people are familiar with the
Apple
Music, but now boys go school, so a lot of boys go school now, so they are getting to know of these things. They are getting to use from where I come from.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And if have you always been concerned about musicians signing their rights away, and which particular aspects of a contract do you want them to pay attention to?
I mean, I've always been concerned. In fact, there is.
You have a pending experience.
There is. Yeah, I have a pending experience, but I can't talk about it for now because I don't want them to see me coming. If I talk, they will know that.
You want to move slow. Okay.
So, there is even, I think it's a company, a rights acquisition company in town now.
Okay.
Which is acquiring rights, perpetually the rights of musicians in some songs, you know that, right? They're in town, in Ghana.
Are they paying good money?
And I think so. They must be paying good money for them to be sent here, something like that.
Yeah.
They must be paying good money for, because I was in Nigeria recently and we went to 1 hour PM. We're having a conversation with someone there. And since we went to Nigeria, the Ghanaians who went, we had been having an argument back and forth over this rights acquisition company. Me, I've always said that there will never be a time where your property will not be valuable. There will never be a time where it won't be valuable. Even it will not be valuable today, it will be valuable tomorrow. You could even be dead and your children will be benefiting off it. So signing away all your rights to someone, I do not subscribe to it, like, at all. Because you don't know what the person is going to do with it. Maybe they are even going to shelve it. You don't know. Because I don't want to talk much about this company because I know people there.
Yeah, okay.
but you don't know what the plans they have for your IP.
Your work, yeah.
You don't. And it's not like it's a record label or it's a talent management company. Or it even has a marketing department, which is going to market your music or anything like that.
Yeah.
You are just selling it to them because they are giving you money. You don't know how they are going to market it to, in order to market your future songs. And you don't know how marketing your future songs is also going to help market the old songs for them. So selling it, I mean, I don't think there is ever a reason why you should outrightly let your IP go. I don't subscribe to it at all.
Personally, as an artist, I also don't advise that. I think it will be a bad business for you, the artist.
Okay. I think I can speak to an experience. I think with Burna Boy, you know, like, he wasn't very known as he is now. And imagine that as at the time when he did like a collaboration with Sir Cordier and Shatta, he had signed off his lifetime creative work. I wonder where he would be now. But for Kedi, what's your worst fear in going into a contract? Because you're in a room with lawyers and they come with the big black suits. What's your worst fear going into a contract?
Worst fear? I don't think I have any, because I've been around for some time.
Okay.
I've read a lot about the business, and now that we have lawyers around, I think the best I can do for myself is to get a lawyer if I think that what I'm reading, I'm not getting it well, so that I don't get raped.
Okay.
You hear me? Yeah. So.
Okay. There's the whole AI conversation now, where we've tried to make music with AI, yeah. And we've wondered who owns the rights. Nee, can you speak to that aspect of rights control? Who owns what? Who is getting the money? And then I'll come to Ifya.
Wow, like that's a tough question. I mean, if yeah, is here, you had written that question.
Oh, I was thinking a tough question for me.
And yes, I want to throw that question to Ifya, because I'm in a situation right now where I have a lot of questions in my head. First, I've composed, I think, about 13 songs with AI.
One album.
Yes, Just last Friday, I did 4. So
wow,
yeah. And I'm asking myself, so if I upload these songs, you know, to Spotify or Apple Music, first and foremost, I'm asking myself, will the platform allow me to even upload them? Do they have like a system in place that will detect that actually a human being didn't compose the source and that this thing is AI generated? Then the second thing that I've been thinking about is, okay, if I put this thing out there and they become hits and people get to know that, you know, these songs are AI generated, how would people see me? Would they see it as, you know, like a strike of genius? Like this is the future of music production? Like, would I be on the same pedestal like
Michael Jackson?
Oh, not Michael Jackson. I'm talking about record labels like the Mavens,
yeah.
guy. What is
Jazz, Don Jazz.
Don Jazz.
Will I be on the same stage? You know, where I'll get people to produce this album, you know, use your smart prompts to...
Maybe by next year, you should have a...
People would just call me out like I'm a quack music producer. So, these are the questions that I've been asking. I don't know if yeah can come in, but will I have like, should I be able to successfully upload these songs to this platform?
I mean, how did you make it? Did they imitate someone, or?
Okay, so part of them are Afrobeats, other ones are iLife, and then the rest are jazz.
Okay, and it's a human being singing on it. Is there a human voice?
No, there is not. It's actually a robot that is singing, but the voice, in terms of similarity, some are close to artists that are known.
No, that's where you have your problem. That's where you have your problem. I mean, that's where we have been talking about, like, with the aspect that is not someone, it's imitating someone, like it's copying someone's voice to record. That's the problem, because it's not an independent individual, right? So me, I don't know.
So
I don't know.
So,
but myself, I've heard of instances where people have uploaded AI songs. There was a time there was an AI song topping charts, like somewhere last year, last 2 years. Yeah, it was on X, and people were like, "There's this AI song
in the jam."
Yeah, it be in the top charts. Things for Spotify.
It's the voice. If,
so I don't know about the terms of getting it on there. But
if maybe I'm Sarkodie and I listen to the song and I'm like, "This thing sounds like me." I can take you on, and I have to take you on for the law to develop, for us to see how the courts will settle it.
Yeah, but that's taking me on to something that is not certain.
Yeah.
In fact, do we see a trend where artists can provide a license to their voice to be used on AI songs? Do you think
something like that can happen. But then again, when an artist is signed to a label, during the period of a contract, your voice and everything, your image, your likeness belongs to the label. Yes. In the future, there's a way that the label can give you the license to use the artist's voice or something.
Okay, but Sarkodie is still an independent artist, I believe. And he recently came out and said that he wants to, you know, co-own his music rights with his fans. So is essentially reaching out to his fans to become part owners of his music. Is it a smart approach?
I mean, I don't know how he's going to do that. Maybe you select me 10 of his fans or something, because 1,000 people cannot own 15 tracks. How much will you get from it?
Right.
How much will you get from it? I mean, I've also been following it. I want to see how he's doing that. I want to see it.
Okay.
And so, have you experienced any legal, or are you having any legal disputes where there's an artist and then a streaming platform that has come to your table?
Artist and streaming
platform, yes.
Hardly, no. Because as I said, there's an intermediary. Distribution companies are the link between the artist and the DSPs. So they don't work directly with them. Yes.
Okay, but have there been any disputes between a distro and an artist that you've experienced and it wasn't so pleasant?
Not yet.
Okay.
But between an artist and label, yeah.
Okay.
Now we get that a lot.
Okay. What would you advise that artists look for in going into a contract in future? Some very key aspects that you can mention to them. So maybe clause one, look at this. Clause two, take a look at this. If they are not saying this and that, then please throw. Because I follow you on social media, and one day you mentioned that don't sign that contract onto something until you have more. Or just leave the contract. You tweeted something like that, and I said, "Oh, okay." So You mentioned that people shouldn't just go signing contracts.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, there is no way someone is bringing your contract and saying you are getting 80 and I'm getting 20. It doesn't make sense. It's always, I'm getting 90, you are getting 10, I'm getting 50, you are getting 50, I'm getting 60, you are getting 40. There's no way the person is going to negotiate a contract to his disadvantage. Do you understand? Yeah. So if I've heard of labels here in Ghana, they'll call you, they'll give you the contract. They'll tell you that our lawyers have looked at it. Let your lawyers look at it. 1 week you come back, whatever you've agreed on, whether you want to sign or not, you discuss, you sign. But they know what's in the contract and they know you are not going to consult a lawyer. They know.
So it's intentional.
It's always intentional because, as I said, they are looking out for their own interests. Me, I don't demonize labels because we need them. They have the money.
Okay.
They have the money. But you also need to make sure that you are making the most out of it. Do you understand? So me, with the contract, when I get a contract, the first thing I look at is termination. I'll look at how you can terminate the contract. I'll look at the term, the number of years.
Okay.
Then you look at the royalties.
Right.
You look at advance, if any. All these are very important because you can even leave a label in 20 years, you still be paying your debt. Understand?
And how would you do that if you are doing 9 to 5 after leaving the label?
You will not do 9 to 5.
Or you can't go 9 to 5.
Oh, but you. They only have to make the money from the music you made for them, not from any other thing. Yeah.
And there's a peculiar case that I am. If it's okay if you are not comfortable to speak about it, the Kwesiatha case. It's peculiar to who owns the song and the royalties he was getting, the whole social media brouhaha. Mm-hmm. Are you able to speak to that case?
I mean, I don't know the full details of that contract. There is no way I'll know without them bringing it to me because with contracts like that, they have NDAs on it. So there is no way he's going. But if going by what's in the air, usually these labels, they come to you and they act like they are providing just label services. Oh, we are helping you promote it. You can also promote it. Then we'll make money from it. But in essence, what you're signing is like a 360 deal. Do you understand? And once you sign that, as I said, the song belongs to them. It doesn't belong to you. So there are some people on the timeline who are crying and some labels are cheating them and all that. But we know the contracts they signed. And from the contracts, the labels are right. They are wrong. What is fair is what you negotiate for, not what you deserve. Understand? When you go, maybe you deserve 100% of your music, but you went to sign for 50%. You can't come back and cry.
Hey.
Understand?
Mm-hmm. And for Keddy, have you had any experience of a shady contract terms of a streaming service or any label you've worked with where there was a shady contract and you look back at it with your lawyer and then your lawyer said, nah, don't go ahead?
No one that I know of. I mean, coming up, I only did one with a label.
Okay.
That was like 70-30. We did an album, but it didn't really do that well.
Okay.
We had like some 1 or 2 weird songs on it, but the album didn't really do well. So I've not really encountered like such stiff contract where I would need to involve a lawyer or anything.
Okay.
Like, I signed another contract back in 2011 2010 with Spider Lee Entertainment.
Okay.
But that one, it no really last. Them two, they no hold me on me too. I left. I left, so shit. Like,
so you mean they didn't meet your expectations or you also didn't meet their expectations?
In the contract,
you weren't meant for each other.
I was supposed to record some songs with Yale and I saw weekly money and thus they come one, they come two, they can't wait the recording to the keep. So
okay,
I just bounced.
And that's just the story. Nobody bothered to take it.
Nobody, it was me myself at that time. Where they go get
it for safe? Okay, and he speaks about where they go get lawyer for. If you're the system that we have now, does it enable young artists coming up without the revenue to have lawyers at hand to deal with such issues for them?
I mean, yes. Yeah, not every lawyer is charging 1 million cedis. So, hey, as I'm sitting here, do you think I'm charging 1 million cedis?
We can't know, unless we also have to see the contract.
That's the thing. You, the artists, they don't even approach the lawyers. That's the thing. It's not like you went to a lawyer and you said, oh, the lawyer is too expensive, I can't afford the lawyer.
Okay.
If you come to me and you can't afford me, I'll give you a junior lawyer you can afford.
I think sometimes we don't even, it's not that we don't even approach the lawyers. It's like, it doesn't even occur to us to even
exactly
get to the head.
It belong. But
I don't say it belong. Hey, somebody say go help you with this.
Exactly.
Exactly. I won't be like, somebody won't push money.
Yeah.
You sign them. Then later you hit, after you hit, and then you get to know that you are being cheated. That's when you decide to get annoyed.
And they will cry for
him. Yeah, time it would have been, it's far gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That is really a very profound statement, Kedi, because what you said about like looking up to Missiata, like that is aspiration right there. Because at the end of the day, the music business is also show business. You have to look it and for people to find you worth listening to. And so I'm really wondering right now for you, if I'm to ask you two things. Let me know which one like you pick two things right now. You said that you are an independent artist, you are up and coming as well. Do you want to be popular or you want to make money from music?
I want to make money from the music, but it's my 95. Sorry to make money off it.
So that also proves sort of the hypothesis that if you said at the beginning, desperation. You want money. So if someone comes to you and tells you that, look, I'm coming to put $1 million into your business. That's a promise. You don't need to see the $1 million, okay? You get 30, I'll get 70. And the person starts to spend on your clothes, starts to spend on your media interviews, you know, marketing and then what have you. At this end, the person can use his own discretion to draw budget for the $1 million. And that person can actually, you know, take advantage of your desperation to make money, to make you perpetually indebted to him, at the same time taking all your music out of it. I just needed like a practical scenario as to how artists and musicians get swindled.
Yeah.
Mostly, I think it's desperation.
Yes.
So you want it so bad that you are in a hurry to just put the pen on paper. You don't think about, like, they just tell you the thing like to the face, oh, this is what I can get for you, this is what I can do for you. So out of
right.
Yeah, and that's money that you probably haven't seen in several years.
Yeah, so you don't think twice. Imagine you've been hungry for a long time, then there's food. Are you going to think twice before you eat? No. You will chop up there and then.
Is there poison in this food?
Oh, no.
You start eating.
you've been underground for like 15 years. Someone wants to invest in you.
You want to do long.
You want to be.
Have you had any cases like that come to your table where the contract is opaque and you just outright just told your person that, listen, this is not good for you. Just let's cancel it. Mm-hmm. Personal experience to share. Mm-hmm. You don't need to mention.
I can't mention the name.
Yes, you can't mention names. I just want to hear how the train of the story goes.
Yeah, one in particular, it was a company. They own a label and they are also like publishers. So a label and publishing company.
Okay.
Usually, as an artist, I wouldn't advise you to even use one company for both recording contracts and publishing contracts, because it means they have control over both. You understand? And with both, with both, royalties coming in are different. Like, if your song is performed somewhere, I mean, I can't use Ghana because Ghana, we don't have our publishing royalties and all that all, but outside, if maybe Burna Boy is going to perform at maybe Wembley and he has a set list, all the tracks they will play is submitted. The venue pays for it. Do you understand? The venue, they have blanket licenses that they pay for. So if your song, you are here and maybe a DJ plays your song at Wembley, you earn on it, you earn publishing on it. And your PRO, BMI, ASCAP and all that, they are supposed to collect everything. And they bring it to your publishers. So even if you didn't sing the song, you didn't sing the song, but you wrote it, when your song is played, you are supposed to earn something on it. You understand? You can't give that right to the same person who has your sound recording right. So they brought a contract and they wanted to cross-collateralize, as in they will give you an advance here for your sound recording. They also give you an advance here for publishing. But there is more you can do with publishing to movies, video games, and all that. So if your song is used in movies, the person who wrote it makes money on it, even though the person didn't sing it. And you are saying if you don't finish paying the money for the sound recording here, we use the money from the publishing to pay it. Do you understand?
Wow.
So I advised them, I told them plainly that I don't agree with contracts like that. Let them be independent. In fact, you don't even have to use both. Choose one. You either use their record label or their publishing company, but don't use both. I told them, we went back and forth, negotiated, went back and forth, and I didn't hear from them again. So I'm assuming they've even got to settle it and sign behind me, you know, something, but I don't know.
Yeah. But for the signing onto streaming platforms, for independent artists and for record labels, are there any differences in the contract? What are the key differentiating terms?
Well, actually, there are no differences in the contract. There are no differences in the contracts. The only difference is that maybe you are signing on to a US label and now you have the US label and they are putting you on to a distributor because they are promoting your work outside. Okay. And you are... Obviously, the share of the royalties are higher than the royalties you make here. That's the only difference. But because with the independents down here, there's no way you can market your music up there the way the US label will market it up there. Okay. So basically, maybe the royalties going in, more of it will be from outside than Ghana. There's no difference like that.
Okay. And then, Keddy, I want to talk about the economic influence of these streaming platforms. So, of course, you as an independent artist, you had to go through a label and then you've done it independently. How has that changed your entire music career and also your pocket? Because that's the most important thing, right?
In terms of affecting my pocket today, I've not really seen any change. Like I said earlier, I'm patiently waiting because it's like I've invested to I'm waiting for the monies to accumulate because I have a smaller brand. I'm still building on my brand. Yeah. So that's just about it. But I've learned a lot being an independent artist. I've gotten to know what and what I cannot do, what will hurt my career, what won't hurt my career. So with that, if I'm signing on to a label, I'll look out for what will be of my best interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just about it. Okay. I've not really made money from being independent, but I've just gotten to learn more.
Right. Okay.
About the music business.
Okay. And more importantly, I feel that the streaming platforms and the streaming services have actually injected a lot more revenue for our artists down here. I don't know if you're also thinking along the same lines, but I'd love to hear some personal experiences that you've had, given that you have had an interface with some of these upcoming artists as well.
Well, I think what the streaming platforms have done is to democratize the distribution chain, because in the past, Charlie, if you don't have Payola, forget. Your music, it be your family and your neighbors who will listen. There's no way you get it out there. But streaming platforms have changed the game, and I think when you look at people like Eddie, for instance, they stand a chance, actually, because without the publishing platform that is currently using to get his music out, without that, imagine, you know, I want you to picture, you know, Keddy walking from the Manu town to
it FM.
You mess up bird CD. You know,
and then pay for you now.
And then pay for you. Because if you don't pay, forget.
It will never be played.
No, unless the DJ just music and wants to help you. But aside that,
you know, and that's a fact. That's, I mean, we take it for granted, but that is a problem that these distribution platforms are solved. You know, so is the impact is truly profound. The other thing too is that these platforms actually enable you to build a community, a fan base, you know, around you. It's really amazing. The first time I subscribed to Spotify Pro,
yeah,
and the level of detail in there, I know Apple takes it to a whole different level altogether, but on Spotify alone, like the level of detail, how they organize the artist catalog of music and everything, and the detail that they provide. I knew that the artist was also providing information at his end, but how they organize it is like you are not listening to just the music. They are providing an experience, enabling you to understand the driving factors that move the artist to, you know, to create this album. And it's actually a delight to listen. In the past, what the DJs were doing is that whilst they are playing your song and then they will be talking, which usually used to offend a lot of people. You actually get so annoyed. They are just listening to the music and they will be talking in it. It's so annoying. But with Spotify and the rest, I mean, you're actually listening to the music and reading.
Yeah.
You know, brief descriptions about what the music, the influence and all of it. And it's amazing. It enables you to immerse yourself into the psyche of the artist. Now, all these experiences were in there in the past.
Yeah.
You see, and right now, those platform doesn't discriminate. If Keddy provides that information to Spotify and I listen to Keddy, I'll get access to that information. And that enables me to understand Keddy better beyond his music,
okay,
you know, as well. But then there is a problem with the algorithms of these platforms. It's not all rosy. And actually, there has been research articles out there showing that it's sort of biased because it gives a lot of weight to known artists rather than upcoming ones. So what it also means is that whilst these platforms have democratized the space, it is...
There's also a bias.
You know, the cartel is still there. You know, so if you are backed by serious block-holding label, Charlie, your music will trend on Spotify. At some point, I was asking myself, how does the music trend? Because one artist drop a music like 4 hours later, over a million, no, I think more than 4 million people have listened to it. Oh, come on. Like, how was it possible?
Yeah, we're global.
And I think I won't call it payola, but it's kind of, yeah.
Well, there's a payola in there.
Yeah, there's a payola in there. So recently, the Nigerians were tweeting, I think this week,
yes,
they were tweeting that if you're in Nigeria, select any song on Spotify and play. Right after that song, Tem's song will play, Love Me JJ. Right after you play that song, Love Me JJ will play. So,
and that is true, like, because there are times, there are weekends when, like, I mean, I want to listen to just Ghana music. So I'll see this suggestion, you know, Ghana hits. You know, I listen to one or two tracks and then some musician from other region will come in. Then before I write, they've taken all over the thing. Then the next suggestion takes me to a different country altogether. I don't like
it. that's why you don't like Spotify.
That's a part of why I don't like it.
Okay. Oh, okay. So those are the experiences out there. So it's still a work in progress. But generally, compared to what used to pertain in the past, it gives people like Eddie a chance.
Okay. And if you're, what are some future trends that you see appearing in streaming contracts and contracts in general for artists and their labels?
I mean, we are looking at the future, but even the present is not even perfect yet. The present is not perfect yet. I think we should focus on the present now, because as we are all here, we think we are, most artists think they are making the best they can from streaming, but it's not true. It's not true. Some artists are here, they don't even have publishing at all. But if you have it, you make more from your music being streamed. You understand? So I think we should focus on that now. We should focus on perfecting our systems, because we have the IFPI report said the fastest growing industry, the fastest growing streaming area, the area in the world is the Sub-Saharan Africa. So we are growing in streaming, but we don't see Ghana in it. It's South Africa, Nigeria, and some other countries. We don't see Ghana in it. Because even the people supposed to collect our royalties can, they don't have a license to operate now. Yes, let's focus on that now. What is there now, crown?
Yeah.
We are struggling, because as it stands, nobody is taking royalties for music being used in Ghana.
Right.
So if you are not signed to maybe a DSP or something, you are not getting any royalties for your music being, aside your music being streamed, you are not making any royalties from it.
Okay. And how are these calculations made? So I want you to give us a breakdown of how these calculations are made and where the revenue goes to and who gets what. Standard. And then also the ones that are nuance, and
honestly, I don't know the real percentages coming to the artists.
Okay.
What I know is the percentages that come after they take the money from the DSPs.
Okay.
And that one is purely based on contractual agreement.
Okay. Kedi, what were the details of your calculation? If you can share that.
Oh, for me, royalties, they derive them from my streaming.
Okay.
And then the publishing. So they calculate the number of streams.
Okay.
That you've had. And then it's a deal. So they also deduct what they need to deduct, and then they give you your percentage.
Okay. And finally, how is internet cost impacting your music streaming as an artist? Because that also contributes to your streaming. If internet costs are high, your community may not be able to afford. How is that? How is that affecting you?
For that one, there is affecting all of us. Ghanaian artists, it's affecting all of us, because you buy a time right now in bundle, then the next minute, then it's gone. So if you don't have a core fan base, it will be hard for someone to say, "Oh, Charlie, today they go listen, Kedi," or even send like, "Charlie, new song," or you send your link, then the person will follow and they go watch even the video on YouTube, because he'll be crying for his data. Maybe, "Charlie, I won't use this data like 4 days." And they come send some. So for that one, there's hurting us. We would like a change in that, but here we are.
Okay.
Well, you know, if only they will listen.
If what would you advocate for from your standpoint?
I mean, if we get these MTN network service providers collaborating with these DSPs, because even as it stands now, people need banks to pay for Apple Music and all those things.
Yeah.
But if we get the network service providers to collaborate with the DSPs, so that paying for music will be quite easier. Apparently, I heard even with Spotify, they had to reduce the bandwidth of their apps to make people without a lot of data be able to stream them. That's why when your internet is even bad
in
some situations, Spotify works better than Apple Music. Yeah. So we need the collaboration between these. As I said, they are all abroad, so they don't know our peculiar situation here.
Yeah.
That's why Boomplay is working here very well, because they know the problems and they know how to solve those problems. If we had enough time, I would have gone into it.
Okay, any key takeaways from today's conversation?
Okay, so Rome wasn't built in a day, but day in, day out, Rome was being built. So I think that's what I'm taking from this lesson and from this episode. And I also love the breakdown that Ifya did regarding the rights. So there is the sound recording and then there is the underlying composition. I never knew like we had a breakdown like that. And then the fact that artists signed to labels don't own rights to their sound recording. Wow.
Majority of them.
Yeah, that was really, really interesting. But the most profound statement that I'm taking from this is that don't let desperation make you sign a bad contract. I think that's my key takeaway. And you can afford a lawyer.
Yeah, you can.
You can afford a lawyer. Guys, this has been the Tech Arts and Soul podcast. Subscribe, share, leave us a comment, and make sure that friend who finds this interesting gets it. Shouts to the crew, Hamza and the triplets. It's been amazing having you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Oh, tech and art together, we breaking new ground.